The views and opinions expressed by guests on this show are those of our guests, not necessarily ours. We are interested in presenting different viewpoints and strive to be neutral parties. We leave it up to you to make your own judgments. Welcome to Vision Chat, a podcast about spiritual topics, with your hosts, Virginia and Stina.
Welcome to another episode of Vision Chat. Today, Stina and I have the pleasure of interviewing Sani Parkkinen. Sani is experienced breathing educator, breath worker, somatic coach, and yoga teacher. In her work, Sani focuses on nervous system health, breath and body as a portal to deep embodied transformation. She has a deeply intuitive yet rational understanding of the human system, realms of experiences, and metaphysics of nature. She is a shamanic vocal work practitioner and drum worker. Her big passion is to explore the convergences of latest research and ancient wisdom. Sani's Breathing Unlimited approach to breathing and movement work is multidisciplinary, drawing inspiration from various modalities: integrative breathing therapy, breath work, Taoism, somatic experiencing, body-mind centering, Feldenkrais, Hatha, Tantra, and Vinyasa Yoga, and various body-oriented therapy modalities. Sani, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm really excited about this.
Amazing. So we can't wait to hear more about you and learn more about what you do. Do you mind telling us a little bit more about yourself?
Yes. I come from Finland originally. I live at the moment in Norway. I do, for my living, work mostly with breathing, but I also combine with a lot of other things in my work. So that's my work self. What brought me to Norway was actually cross-country skiing. I really love skiing, and I had an opportunity in my life to kind of relocate myself. So six years ago, then I decided to move with my partner to Norway, and I've really been enjoying it this far. I do miss Finland sometimes, especially parts of that are kind of also a little bit closely related to what we're going to talk about today. And for me, that's kind of the, let's say, spiritual tradition that is my home. And for that, I sometimes do miss Finland and the forests and the lakes and the nature and kind of that homey feeling that is really, really deeply sitting deep inside of me. But yeah, at the moment in Norway, and breath worker, breathing educator, as you introduced me. I also work with yoga. I'm a yoga teacher, and somatics, so different somatic modalities. I do a lot of sauna work, or work in sauna as well. So somehow the Finnish roots have brought me also to have some sauna rituals, and creating a lot of very exciting stuff in saunas, which I love as well. Mm.
Wow, that's so cool. Sounds like a journey.
Life is a journey.
Yeah. Is your partner from Norway or?
From Finland.
Mm. Oh, nice.
We moved together, yeah.
Yeah.
To the far, far away land of Norway. Not really so far away, but yeah.
Together. Can I tell you, I heard somewhere, I hope this is not offensive, but if it is, I'm sorry. I swear I don't mean anything offensive, but I did hear that Finland's big on saunas. Like, there's saunas everywhere in Finland. Is this I don't have that much knowledge about it, but is this a thing that was developed in Finland? I don't know the history of the saunas.
Sauna has been a part of Finnish tradition for ages. I mean, I'm pretty sure that in all Northern Hemisphere cold countries, there has been some kind of wood fired warm places in cold winter months, especially. But I guess in Finland, the sauna and the tradition around it has been like quite well preserved. So there is a lot of knowledge, a lot of history, a lot of tradition around it. And since you now brought it up, I also kind of want to mention here that it's moving to Norway made me look at the sauna culture in a very different way. And I was like, what is this? Like, what are these people doing here with the saunas? Like, this is like a social place, or it's kind of a, and that's what we see these days as well, that sauna is kind of a sold as a, through the health benefits it has, which is wonderful. Like, it has many, many health benefits, but I see that this is the same has happened with so many other traditions as well. Like yoga, for example, it's mostly marketed and sold through and like with the health benefits, whereas the true root of the tradition, like sauna, like yoga, is somewhere completely else. Like it's much richer place, much richer tradition that is kind of underlying there. So it's really interesting to see how this world kind of makes everything into this, like, okay, sauna is good for your cardiovascular health, but what about the whole world that it can open up? And what about the really, like, the really embodied transformation that the sauna can kind of, and the otherworldly feeling that the sauna can offer? So all this is kind of a bit like, not maybe so interesting, but that's the interesting thing for me, so. Yeah, now that you mentioned sauna, I just had to say that.
Thank you. I mean, I'll be honest with you, here in the US, I don't think it's a big thing. The sauna is just part of, like, you go to a gym maybe, or I don't know, somewhere, and then it's a very small part of, like, oh, you can sit in the sauna for a little bit, but it's not a big thing. And I feel like you said, there is some cultural pieces here that we're missing. I'm fascinated by this idea of, yeah, what is a sauna like in the US versus like in Finland or in Norway? Like, it must be such a different experience.
Yeah, usually it is. The whole culture is kind of we build cultures. I mean, everyone is part of building a culture, and that really plays a big role. Like, people who don't have the in their kind of a mother's milk. I don't know how to say that in English, but in Finnish we have this saying. So they don't maybe kind of appreciate the place also in the same way, and that's okay. Like, that's completely okay. But I mean, it's also important to, and I find that it's kind of important to bring and share some knowledge about the depths of the culture and the tradition and the place and all that.
Do you want to go a little bit more into how this sauna experience can be? Because I know in Norway, here too, I feel like you go to the gym, you go to the sauna, or you go to like a swimming pool and then take sauna after. And it is social, but I don't feel like we have learned anything more than that, what the sauna can be.
Yeah. Well, where should I start? So sauna is kind of a place between the house and the forest. It's a place in between. It's an in-between space, liminal space. In a lot of the kind of the yearly cycle, the years, the cycle of the year and the cycle of the nature, there are specific days that kind of have meant more to, like, all traditions have different celebrations on those days, and sauna is kind of a big part of many of the Finnish important days on the yearly cycle, and quite often it is, like, especially for me personally the most important day is Kekri, or the kind of the modern Halloween, Samhain, or whatever you call it, depending on where you are from and what you're used to. But Kekri, I recently learned that in Norwegian you can also say Kekri, and I was like, yes, because that's the Finnish word. But that was the time of the year where the spirits were invited to the sauna. And that was the place for kind of a purifying. And it was washed before the spirits or the ancestors were invited in. And then interesting thing is that the kind of the people who lived in the house and the spirits, they never met. So when then the people in the house went somewhere, I don't know, remember, it's different versions of this story. But then when they, for example, left somewhere, then they left food for the spirits and the ancestors to come and eat in the house, or the food was served in the sauna, and so on. So sauna has always been this kind of, like, now I'm showing with my hands, like this this place where things can happen and where the worlds kind of can melt. And forest in many traditions, and I know that I say the word tradition like 100 times, and I might try to avoid that now. But forest is kind of the unseen. That's the world of wonders. That's also a little bit scary, because the word forest is the unconscious. Whereas the house is the kind of like this everyday consciousness place. And sauna is kind of a something in between. Like, you can visit, but you don't need to stay. You can visit and you don't need to stay. You can open something and then you can leave. And this is a lot what I try and also bring to my sauna sessions. This idea, because I find that modern people are a little bit afraid of the unknown, a little bit afraid of other realms, and kind of like, oh, what are you talking about, this like spirit or soul, or like a little bit afraid of even the concepts and the terms. And sauna can be a place where you can visit, but you don't need to stay. Like, you can come and kind of open yourself up to something. Maybe you don't need to, but maybe. And then you can, you know, continue socializing and using the sauna as you want. But this is a really, really interesting thing that I've been kind of pondering about, and also builds a lot on what I find that is my true mission here on this planet, is kind of building bridges. I'm quite rational, but at the same time, I do have quite deep roots in yoga and this whole sauna thing and so on. So I kind of want to build bridges so that this would not be this like black and white, because we see so much of this black and white. No, this is wrong. No, this is wrong. And judgment and all that. Like, okay, but can we explore? Can we explore and not like judge something by only hearing something that feels like, oh, that's not for me. So that's about the sauna and how it kind of is part of, really important part of my work, although I do not kind of do that as my main thing, but it's very interesting to bring this and test these things in sauna, for example.
I've never thought of a sauna as a spiritual place. That is amazing. I am amazed right now, truly. It's something I've taken for granted so much that it's like, oh, it's just the little room where you go and you sit there and you sweat and you can't breathe and then you leave, you know, like, I don't want to do it. I'm so uncomfortable in that place, you know. But how fascinating, because now you've changed my perspective on that. So now I can't wait to go and find a sauna and sit there and just see what happens, because you're describing a spiritual meditative practice in there. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Mm. Do you have any labels for yourself?
Yeah, at some point I was really I think I even wrote in my Facebook kind of a introduction description, what do you kind of write about yourself, I think I wrote something about like not really needing to label myself with anything, like trying to avoid identifying with something, which was kind of a part of my journey, in a way that I started with quite deep yoga practice for many years, and then there was a lot of this kind of a detachment, and it took many years to kind of take the real step out of my previous life or my habits or my work and whatever I had been doing, and to step into something new. And as a kind of a transition, I really felt like, okay, there needs to be this like very big detachment to something that I try to be. And now I'm a little bit back into like I've accepted that in order to, for example, work in this world, you kind of need something. You need to also call yourself something, which also my response to this question is like, like labels. What am I even? Because the whole question of like, who are you and who am I is so far away from the label, and also it kind of makes our human experience into this like narrow category. But yeah, I'm a breathing educator. I work as a breathing educator, as a breath worker, as a somatic coach. I build bridges. I'm a bridge builder. My ancestor line is in Karelia, in border between Finland and Russia. And in rune singing, so kind of like my blood comes from some kind of singing tradition, which has also given a lot of depth to my vocal work. And I'm by no means a professional in vocal work, but I do consider it as a big part of what I do. And that's kind of my, let's say, healing instrument. My voice is my healing instrument. The biggest of them, like my tool. But at the same time, of course, I do have quite big antennas to sense and feel and notice stuff. But yeah, professionally, let's take the breathing educator or breath worker as the main.
Would you mind sharing with us just how you started in all this work? Like what sparked your interest? How did you pursue what you're doing right now?
I started to have this really, really strong sense that there must be more than this. There must be more than this life that I'm now living. And it's so easy afterwards to kind of build a whole story of how it all started. So I don't really know, but I feel, and this is also what I see, that the more sensitive people start to become to their own, of course, building body connection, nature connection, kind of a coming back to their bodies, back to the nature, the more sensitive they also start to be to, okay, what am I? What am I like? What am I doing here? What am I sensing? What am I hearing? What am I noticing? And this kind of like the boundary between what is scary or what is like out of my, like that's not my world, is getting thinner and thinner. So then one starts to accept also a little bit different reality of who you are or what you want to do in life or what is possible. Because I come from a really small town in Finland, and my whole life I've kind of like never dared, or the first, let's say, 25 years of my life, I never dared to even look like, okay, that this could be possible as well. So I feel that I lived like a very, very narrow life, which is why maybe a kind of a counter reaction, I'm now very against kind of like making things like this, linear and so on, because then afterwards and later I've like realized like how this all works and how this all moves. Like, wow, everything is all the time in movement, and there's actually endless amount of possibilities to any direction. There's actually no right or wrong choices, because like in sauna you can always come back. Like you don't need to stay there. But yeah, to be a bit more kind of a practical, I started to feel like, okay, there must be more than this. And then I had been practicing yoga for years. Then I was like, I had this really, really deep calling that I need to travel to India. I had never, ever kind of a thought of it consciously, like the now that I want to travel to India. But then one day it just hit me, like, I need to travel to India. And that's what I did. And then I went back, and then I started traveling. Like I spent several months there and started traveling more, and ended up in Chicago, for example, in US. And it was a whole journey that as well. And it was kind of a following the yogic path at time in a Hatha yoga tradition that also had a lot of kirtan, a lot of kind of a singing, satsang and so on, which was really something that became my path for that time, the bhakti yoga and the devotion. It really felt something. It felt really, really different to what I'd experienced before. It felt that I was finally able to surrender myself to something bigger, and kind of forget my problems or my ego or my kind of a small world, but to be part of something bigger. It really started to open my heart and also show me other ways of living and being and all that. So that was the start of it. And I guess I'm still on that path. It has shown me many forms, and for sure the practice and how it looks like is not the same anymore. But I still feel it's kind of it is very rich and enriching, and it's also giving me a lot every day.
That's wonderful. And it sounds like you're on a good step when you can step out and surrender to something else, because I feel there's a lot of people that is struggling towards that and getting kind of the perspective of you can go outwards of yourself in a way instead of getting caught in who you are and what you are in this life. How did you get into breath work?
So I often say that breath chose me. Yoga saved me, and breath brought me back to life. So in yoga practices, like I've been singing, like I said, I've been diving, swimming, like all these kind of also sports that do have a lot to do with breath control. So in very unconscious way, I've always enjoyed modifying or regulating my breathing and being with my breath. And yoga, pranayama, was definitely my favorite modality. It was also that kind of gave me the most. And it was also a very important factor why I started to study breath more and more. I started to have some problems in my own breathing, some discomfort, some difficulties in holding my breath. And then I got really curious, and how do these practices that feel so good can actually impact my everyday breathing, or my perception of my breath, my relationship with my breath in this way. I got a lot of answers from research and from the scientific approach, and also a lot of kind of a healing to my breathing relationship. And that led me also then to teach more about breathing, because I noticed that there is so much people who need it and also want it. So in a way, breath chose me. It was very like, okay, I might put up a breathing course, and then suddenly it was full, and then like, oh, this is something that feels like is interesting to people. So maybe it's not just me who is into this. Breath chose me, and it's kind of showing me all the time new ways of where to go, how to navigate this whole industry. Because let's face it, the whole like healing industry and breathwork and so on has become quite big, huge, large. A lot of more attention, and also with that comes always problems and always some unwanted side effects of the in a way good intentions and good practices and so on. So breath is always also showing me where to go and where to focus next.
That's good. How would you define what breathwork is for somebody that has never really heard about it?
Actually, I use the term breathwork very little, because for me, breathing in any form is not about work. So I kind of don't like the breathwork word. It's also quite modern word coming from the 60s, 70s, and mostly describing or kind of it was coined in the holotropic breathwork world, where breathing and was used as a part of maybe a psychoanalytical process or more of the connected to one's kind of a psychological states. And there is like, I love all kinds of breathing practices. That's true. So nowadays I call my style, so my brand is Breathing Unlimited, and I kind of now I'm landing on the embodied breathwork, because for me it's so important that one is grounded and in the body before flying high. Or you don't even need to fly high. Like, I've flown high in my life a fair amount, and enough to know that it's not necessarily needed in order to open a door to maybe an alternate state, or whatever we want to call it, to see something new, to have an insight. So soft is the new strong, and which I like very, very clearly state this, that one can do things in a much more embodied and soft way to have the same kind of results and effects and so on. But breathwork, I think the official term breathwork means any kind of modification of your breath or any kind of breathing exercise. So all can be named or called breathwork, or go under the umbrella of breathwork. But it's also good to know where the word comes from. Like in yoga, breathwork was never used as a term. Like, pranayama doesn't mean breathing exercises per se. It means working with the prana, or expanding the prana. So I find that words matter in a way of what we are actually trying to do, or even try to reach with some kind of practice. But yeah, I understand that it's also important that practices or modalities have names that people kind of can understand, and it's easily approachable to most of the modern people. So yeah, so that's breath work, and that's also kind of a little bit what I feel that I'm doing, and how it might be a little bit different sometimes from the big hard breath work wave, where there is a lot of breathing.
I love your ongoing resistance to wanting to be labeled or put into these certain terms. you're a rebel for sure. I love it. Free spirit. You know, it's so interesting you're talking about breath work breathing, because that's another thing that I feel like we've all taken for granted as human beings, right? It didn't become a thing until recent years. So breathing was something we just did. Nobody paid attention to it. Or if people did, it was in like the yoga world, because that's where I remember from. Like, there was some emphasis on breath when I was learning yoga, like years and years ago. And I found it so interesting that the instructor kept saying, breathe. And I was like, well, yeah, we're all breathing. What do you mean breathe? But I understood with time. And then she would explain, you need the oxygen, you need the air in your system for your muscles to be able to do what you're asking them to do. And so then I started thinking about breath in a different way. There is a mind-body connection here going on. There's something deeper going on here in a relationship with breath. So that did change my perspective on it. Now again, now we flash forward, 2020, COVID, right? And the very essence of breathing changed, I think, for a lot of people during that time, because it affected the way people breathe. The very thought, you know, breathing, such an essential thing, was being attacked with this virus. And then after that, I noticed that when we would be doing meditations, and Stina, you might remember, I'm not sure, from like classes, like part of the meditations that we would do in with other people in class would be like, now focus on you, take a deep breath. And And that became a little bit of a sensitive topic after COVID, because for some people, their breathing was deeply affected. And so even suggesting take a deep breath was a little bit, you know, it sparked some kind of emotion there. Like, what if I can't? Or that might be difficult for me. I feel like the breathing then started taking a turn there. Like, I think maybe that's why the breath work now is so popular. Because I think that if there was some kind of shift, maybe I'm just making this up, but there was some kind of shift during that time, and now breathing became very important. And people are going crazy. What is this? You see it everywhere in social media. Breath work, breath work, breath work. Everybody's doing breath work. You know, like it's such a big deal of breathing, right? And like you said, I love that you're saying, let's take the work out of it. Maybe it doesn't have to be work. It sounds like effort. Maybe it doesn't have to be so hard, because it's natural, right? Let's get back to the basics. Can we make it easy? Can we put into behind it? You know, so I don't know, I'm rambling, but anyways, I just wanted to add to your point of, you know, what you're trying to do. It feels like a very natural, easy thing that you're trying to practice.
Yeah. And I work with a kind of a very large scope. So I, on the other hand, I work with people who have breathing difficulties. And for these kind of people, and I kind of was one of them at some point, due to too strong breathing practices. So pranayama and yoga's practices that were too much for my system. So there was not enough stability, not enough foundation, not enough kind of a the nervous system was not ready to take it. But people can like, breath is very sensitive. It reacts to a lot of things. So it's no wonder that it reacts to a virus. But also with to these kind of people, it might be quite triggering to then use this kind of, again, language matters, take a deep breath, because breath is so intimate. If there is something that doesn't feel right in it, if there is something that is kind of a pressing your chest down all the time, or like our modern posture, like everything affects our breathing. But it might also feel like triggering, like you are breathing all the time, but is there really, like, people might feel that there's like something wrong with them when this intimate connection has suffered in some way. So if there's a breathing difficulty, your whole kind of you don't have an anchor, and then you notice it. So yeah, for sure, I agree completely that the virus kind of made us aware of this, and the masks and all that made us very aware of our breathing, and that might also has for many at least been this motivator to maybe get to know the breath a little bit more, and also get to know what kind of possibilities there are. So of course, like, research is all the time catching up, and there's a lot of new research all the time about the benefits of some kind of breathing practices. And I try to really always in my classes and trainings and so on, get back to basics before we do any crazy stuff or modify the breath that much, because the relationship, like the foundation, the stability, the embodiment, like, it needs to be there. Breath is such a powerful tool. So if you just take a practice there, or you go to a holotropic breathwork class or a breathwork class where there's a lot of breathing, and you don't really have that stability, or you don't really have that connection, you will get a very strong reaction. And that's fine. Like, some are after this, and that might feel like a blissful spiritual experience, which it can be. I'm not saying it's not. But also, when I mentioned that I have flown very high in my life many, many times, but what was lacking actually in order for me to live a healthy, balanced life in this modern world was enough stability, enough foundation, enough groundedness. So this is why I call it embodied breathwork. How can we really, like, stay on the body level rather than escaping or dissociating, or kind of trying to reach something or get high or get the benefits? Because that's important, but that's like a little bit secondary. that's just a symptom of our whole society, where it kind of tries to lead us that you need this and this and this, and you need this breathing exercise to manage your stress, and you need this to stay healthy, and you need to always breathe through your nose, and all these kind of instructions that come from a good place. But if you kind of end up into this, like, oh, what do I need to do now? And what practice do I need to do when I have headache? And what practice do I need to do? You kind of lose the whole, like, you have the innate wisdom in you, and you have the breath in you all the time. So get to know that and build a relationship so that there is less questions, and the body and the breath already guide you. You are already in a practice and you have an anchor that is not coming from somewhere like, yeah, I need to do this, okay, I'm just following this app and then I will be, you know, good again. Yes, in the start it's fantastic to have some kind of like, okay, this I will practice, and this is my, you know, this I know. But over time, I find that the relationship aspect and the connection is so much more giving. And that's kind of also where any, like, you know, the true, let's say, connection that then can give rise to change and transformation comes from. I get really excited when I talk about this.
I love it. And I feel like what you're saying is very important, because most of the time people are looking outwards to get something or to get somewhere, and that will make something better, instead of focusing on being grounded, being in the body, feeling what is going on. And I think, I don't know, but with technology and everything, it's so much distraction and so much stuff that is taking out or like outside of the body instead of being present and being here. So yeah. Do you have any spiritual experience from when you were younger?
I really feel that most people have, but most people don't pay attention. Or again, it's somewhere like, okay, that's just weird, I'm not going to bother about it. I feel that I have had many transcendent experiences. So something that have, like, experiences that have maybe shown me other worlds or other realms or alternate states, dreams that come true, crossing the boundaries between the worlds and so on. So I feel like I have been a traveler, but it has never been this kind of, that I've been very like caught up by it, or that I've kind of like used, I remember that I've been like pondering of these experiences and like, what do these mean, as any child, or, you know, when you're a little bit younger, you would. But it has never been, when I was younger, this kind of like, how would I say, like, weird or spiritual? Like, I don't really even, I used like maybe 5 minutes to think about, like, what is actually spirituality and what is actually a spiritual experience. For me, maybe this is also a story that I have created afterwards, when I've become so in love with my own breath, because when we are breathing, we are spiritual, we are in spirit. So all the breath, kind of whether the roots of the whole thing that we are here all the time doing, unconsciously or consciously, come from the spirit, respiration, inspiration, expiration. So there is a lot of and in all languages, breath and soul and spirit share the same etymology. So in a way, we always are and have been travelers of different realms and in spirit and in kind of a, this, again, I'm showing with my hand, my favorite movement. Everything is all the time moving, and everything is all the time in some kind of pattern. So yeah, I do have, but I don't really, I've never considered them as being something that is like, out of ordinary in a way. So it's very difficult to also go back and kind of like, okay, well, was that or was that not? Or I've taken many things for granted. Like, this is just part of the world. This is how things work, which is super interesting when you kind of like, when I say it loud, I've never got this question before. like, what does, to go back to some kind of memory or experience and then play with it. I feel like, especially as a kid, because I'm from like very middle of the forest, and the forest was my playground. So the world was full of wonders. And there is like a lot of awe and a lot of that connection that I really feel in my body at the moment when I go back to my childhood. So I that's something that I also hope for everyone to be able to live in the world full of wonders instead of distractions in a way.
Can you talk a little bit about like the kind of people that you work with? Like, how do you work with people? How do you help them? Is there any, I know maybe it's a big question because it sounds like you're doing a lot of things, but can you tell us a little bit, like, what kind of client would normally come and seek out your services?
I have many different kind of clients. So maybe there is no one prototype, but sensitivity is for sure one common factor. Sensitivity to maybe stress, but also all the good stuff. So I like, sensitivity is often, I don't know, but somehow sounds like a bit a negative thing. For me, it's super positive thing, because when you're sensitive, you have those antennas. And again, it's possible to turn that, like, okay, the world is really like, the world is a heavy place to live in, and there is so much things that, you know, are affecting me. It's possible to turn that into, the world is full of possibilities. And there is actually a lot of gifts in being able to sense stuff when you come to the room, or being able to kind of navigate this field of liminality in a way. But yeah, so sensitive people, I do work with sensitive people. And since my approach to breathing and breath work is quite soft, and also I very like always emphasize curiosity, I would want to say that I work with curious souls. So people who kind of share that idea that, or that lived experience, that world is full of wonders, and it's worth exploring that. And you can use so much time in kind of a being in trance state in your and with your breath and through your body, rather than kind of taking those either as some kind of, okay, this is the practice, or this is the protocol that I follow. So I do work with protocols, and I do work also with, like, you know, this is now, I feel that this is the, like, my intuition says, and my intuition is also building on all the experiences that I have. So it's saying that, okay, this is the way that we go forward. But I always come back to that question, like, what is really important? I find that what is really important is to be free, and not in a way that, okay, I can do anything in life. Yeah, that's maybe part of it, that you feel that there are some possibilities, but feel that some kind of like inner freedom. And breath is a wonderful way of break, like, not me, breaking might be a little bit tough word, to kind of a softening the whole system into meeting life a little bit more. So kind of a, like a butterfly, when the butterfly starts to open up. So there's always some kind of thing that triggers the opening. Of course, we're all the time growing, and we cannot really control the growing process or the healing process. But breath is a wonderful way that starts to kind of melt the ice, or the freeze, or the kind of the closeness to life. So in a way, I do work with people and systems that feel that there is something that is that it's time. It's time maybe to start to open up and to kind of like start to look and see and be you and be me in the world.
Sunny, maybe you already talked about this, but I'm thinking about something that you mentioned earlier and I'm trying to reflect on this. How do you form, or how do you develop that intimate relationship with breath? Because now I'm thinking, maybe I'm overthinking it, but like, is it something simple, or is it something like a process? Is there some key or something? Like, how do we start to do that for people that are listening? Like, how can they, if they're reflecting on what you're saying, how do you form that intimate relationship with your own breath?
Well, this is a really good question. Yeah, for sure. There is no protocol for it. being with the breath might be the time, might be the most important factor there. I find that for some, and also like I was really curious about the, and interested in the science of breathing and all the like, needed to go through all the like, oh, I need to dig deeper. I want to know this and this and this. But as I then this I said said before as well, that building a relationship is something very different. It's very practical. It's very simple. But it doesn't mean that it's fast. So simple doesn't mean that things happen. Yeah, it's simple. I just do it. But simple means that it's no, like, there is no rocket science around it. Like, you don't need to master anything else but to build the connection. And what we know about building the connection with the body, I find nature, and this is why I bring to breathwork and breathing sessions and so on, a lot of nature imageries, a lot of, I also have breathwork sessions in the forest. Because when we see patterns in nature, like trees, we see the tree that is in our lungs, we somehow start to rebuild this connection of, oh, what am I actually? And what is my breath actually? My breath is a connector. My breath is something that is breathing me rather than that I am doing it or I am breathing it. So for me, the biggest switch for sure has been that the breath is breathing me and allowing that to happen. So there's a lot of surrendering there. There's a lot of surrendering to the breath is breathing me, rather than I do the breath or I need to do all this stuff so that I build the connection. Because when you sense that breath breathing you, there is something bigger. There is the life force. You're like in awe of all this, oh, all this movement and all this like subtlety that is taking place in you. Because the breath is like a ripple effect. Like there's ripples that expand to every single cell, and you can sense your breath in your fingertip, and you can sense your breath in your toe tip, and you can sense your breath in your left buttocks, and you can sense your breath everywhere. That's kind of that's the body connection. That's the connection to this. And when you start to somehow at some level understand the whole universe is breathing, whoa. Like that's big, like that's something that now we are not anymore in this physiology of breathing, what is happening, but the universal movement that breath represents. So we can bring these kind of intellectual bits of like your lung tree is like a tree there, and then slowly, slowly, with time, the connection and the relationship becomes deeper. And there might be even some kind of transformation in this that takes place. And this is often what happens. Like people start to open up to life when they understand they somehow, this whole alignment process happens very naturally. Like people finding place in the world, their place in the world. And that's big. Like that's big. You're not anymore this isolated. I'm just here and these are my problems. But you understand that the whole life is breathing you, and that's a gift. That's such a big and wonderful gift.
Do you have any stories where you were amazed by it, or like that amazed other people when you worked with them?
I love longer containers, so trainings. That's why I focus on trainings, because there you really see what kind of ripple effects or what kind of things the breath can kind of set the gong. That's a kind of a like start. So I really find that because this is quite simple works, like one of my gifts is that I can kind of sense the room and I know what is happening behind me, and I'm kind of like sensing the emotions. I'm also very sensitive to that. So as a practitioner, I have used a lot of time and effort, or not maybe effort, but also like taking coaching myself and mentoring myself in order to be able to handle people's emotions, because I'm so sensitive to that, so that they do not become mine. But being so sensitive about what is happening, I also sense the kind of the mood stunt, that there is some kind of resistance and that there is some kind of, but often now I've also learned to kind of appreciate that resistance, because actually we need to go and move through that in order to really open up. So now the resistance in the room is not anymore kind of a grunching my gut into this, oh, someone is having resistance to this work, but rather it's like, yes, bring it on, like bring it here, because that's again, like that's power, that's something that is kind of like fire helping you to metabolize something. But I really feel that in longer containers, when there is enough time and when there is enough slowness to be with the breath, that's when I witness, and people also witness, true transformations in their relationship with breathing and their ways of being. So we often think that, yeah, I go to breath work every week, 2 hours per week, and it's just like I'm leaving work and then I go there and then I breathe and then I go back home. There is not really enough time. There is not, it's still in this, like, on the terms of this fast-paced society, whereas any kind of relationship building, like if you start to date a new guy, like that relationship is not built in like, yeah, we're 2 hours, we're together, and now we kind of have this deep relationship. Yeah, it can happen, but yeah, you can deepen, you can go deeper, you can deepen it. That requires time. And the same with anything, same with the body, same with your breath, same with any kind of like, if you have a spiritual experience and you want to kind of digest that, but also build a, how would I say, that it sits somewhere, that it's not just like separate thing like there, but you build the whole world view around it. That takes time. Like, I mean, the biggest shift for many is like, okay, this is the materialistic world. Then I have an experience that is kind of out there. Like, okay, what is this? Like, how do I build a bridge here? How do I take this gap? You cannot close the gap with the materialistic worldview. You need to build a whole kind of a new way of looking into things so that it finds a context. So the same with your breathing, like coming from, okay, it's just the ventilation, your muscles are working, and then your lungs are getting the air, to build a context that is more, for example, in line with the nature and what is happening and the universal movement and all that, it takes time. It takes time.
You explained that so beautifully. Like, I love it.
Thank you.
Do you want to let people know, like, where they can find you, how they can connect with you? Like, we have listeners from all over the world, so I don't know if you take international clients, like if you want to give us your information and just let us know how people can connect.
Yeah, so in Instagram I'm Breathing Unlimited all together, Breathing Unlimited. Same in Facebook. Actually, I do work face-to-face in Norway and Finland. I also offer trainings in Finland, but I do have online clients, and I offer somatic coaching, which is also very potent online, and work that you can do online. So yeah, so I do work internationally through Zoom and and so on. But those are maybe the places that you can find me easiest.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for your time and everything you shared.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Vision Chat. You can find more about us at visionofprofoundhealing.com, where we offer readings, courses, and classes.